Hier is die program Vreugde Joy. My naam is Bertha Leroval en jy kuier heerlik op Radio Kansel 657 AM en Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. Vanoggend gaan ons 'n bietjie in Engels gekuier. So sit jou Engelse ore aan and then we'll all just have a nice conversation about marriage today. But first I want to introduce you to our speaker today and that is Graham Schnell. Graham, good morning.
Good morning, Bertha. So good to be with you.
Oh, it's lovely. I'm so excited about all of the things that you guys are doing. This is from Focus in the Family and Intiem Tijdschrift. So you guys have put such a wonderful thing together. But first of all, I'm going to, so in Afrikaans we say, ek gaan met die deur in die huis val, and I'm going to ask you, how did your relationship with God start? You know, yeah. Where did it begin when you realized this is not just about going to church, and it's about me and him?
You know, I had the great privilege of being raised in a Christian home. So my parents had become Christians after they got married, and they were really passionately following Jesus, but still kind of new and figuring it out. But I was brought up in this Christian home, and I made a decision, I think, to follow Jesus at probably age about 6 or 7, you know, Sunday school and saying, this is what I want. But then growing up in the church, I had that thing where you start hearing all the testimonies from people that, you know, some been to prison and, or kind of rescued out of drugs or all of these really cool testimonies. And I thought, I need to actually go and earn myself a bit of a testimony because mine's really boring. And so, in my kind of teenage years, high school years, I did that to some degree. And I thought, I need to just explore the world a bit. But the amazing thing is that just that commitment to Jesus right from an early age never left me. And God protected me from so much rubbish. When I look back, I just think, his hand was so firmly upon me. But I do remember in a RE class. So we used to have those religious education classes at school. And the guy was speaking, just spoke from Revelations 3, and he read that scripture that says, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. And I wish that you were either one or the other. But because you are lukewarm, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And I remember thinking, I'm actually lukewarm. I know the truth, but I'm kind of trying to gain this testimony on the other side. And I realized this is, I know too much to go with cold. Cold has a very hot ending in the end if you're cold towards Christ. And so, I've been following Jesus ever since, not to say perfectly, but that's kind of how my journey began.
Oh, that is wonderful. And I know it's always so intimidating. Almost those testimonies that go, and I that night my whole life turned around and all, and some of us feel like, whoa, I just love God all the way. I mean, I've loved him from the start. I don't have a prolific moment. I don't have this big huge testimony, and it can make you feel less than. It can make you feel not deserving almost of your relationship with God. And yes, I totally identify with that. I totally hear you. But I just want to encourage our listeners and say, listen, that's not the case. God wants you just as you are right here, right now. And you don't have to have a divine intervention or a big, huge testimony to be on fire for God. It's not necessary. Yeah.
There's power in everybody's story. And obviously, absolutely. I've given a nutshell version of mine, but absolutely. And I recognize that, you know, it may not have that moment of like a Damascus Road experience. But I have this incredible story of looking back and seeing God's protection over so many areas of my life. And there's power in that, and it can be very encouraging to somebody who maybe is sitting in a similar position. And so to celebrate your story and recognize that actually in God's economy, our good deeds are all filthy rags. All of us are actually on a par. lack of entry into his throne room, but by his grace and his blood.
Absolutely. Amen to that. And that is a big part of what we want everyone to experience. We want to want them to experience that absolute love that doesn't have to be bought or deserved or anything like that. It's just love unconditionally and without judgment, which is something that we don't quite understand in our own lives, you know, in life, in the world today. We don't get that moment is there. Exploration of being loved without deserving it. That's not visible daily in our lives. But, you know, this is definitely part of Marriage Week for me as well, because that love and that unconditional love and that understanding love and the grace that you have to have for each other is so, so necessary in marriage today. But Graham, I want to ask you, so did you go on studying after school? How did you end up at Focus in the Family?
Yeah, also amazing story. Well, amazing to me, at least. I studied a degree that was kind of a marketing-oriented degree. And so I was just looking for work after completing that degree and doing little odd jobs here and there, but really looking to get into the marketing field. And I saw an advert in the paper, and it was Focus on the Family looking for this marketing position. And I thought, wow, that would be amazing, because I didn't know a lot about Focus, but I knew it was a Christian organization. I thought, well, that would be awesome to work for a Christian organization. I knew it was media orientated, and that was something I was interested in and passionate about. And so, well, this would be cool. And so I applied for the position. I didn't get it. It wasn't like I was in ministry, studied at theology, and sort of got this calling into the ministry. I was just looking for a marketing job. But the way that God orchestrated that appointment was quite incredible. And I won't go into the details, but suffice to say, for many years I said that Focus printed the advert wrong. And then recently I've been thinking, well, maybe I was just blind into it, but they were actually looking for a marketing manager's position. And I had no right to apply for that. I was pretty much fresh out of university. They printed the ad wrong, or I was blinded to that, but I applied for this position, and then just God's fingerprints in the whole process that then led to me ultimately actually being appointed, in a position that they kind of said, well, we'll create a position for you, because we really believe God is positioning you here. And I had that sense, wow, this is, God has put me here. For a purpose and for a reason. But I was young and single. I had no family of my own. But then soon after that, I got married. And then a few years later, I had kids, and then just being surrounded by all of the content and the resources of Focus on the Family and seeing how much of an impact that had in my own life, in my own marriage, in my own parenting. My passion for this family ministry just grew and grew and grew, because I recognized that there were just these principles that God has put in his word that if applied, it's not a formula. It's not, we'd love for it to be, especially with parenting, that if you just do A plus B, you always get C. And that isn't the case, because we live in a fallen world and we live among humans who have free will, and it doesn't always work out exactly according to a formula. But there are general principles that when you apply those principles that God has laid out in his word, things are good. Things are better because it's part of his plan and his purpose for humanity, for us. And I just felt like if I could just get these principles out, more marriages could be saved, more families could be thriving. And so, yeah, that's really been, you know, my journey, my start at Focus, just this application for a job. But really the calling has grown through the years. And And my wife has been very good in that. There have been times that kind of earlier on where she said, you know, isn't it time maybe that you go and get a proper job and, you know, earn a proper salary, stop working for this nonprofit organization. But I would always reply and say, you know, God positioned me here, and I think he'll tell me when it's time for me to move somewhere else. And to her credit, she's always 100% backed me in that. And that's exactly what it's been for me. It's just been this absolute joyful journey of being a part of Focus and then seeing the impact that can happen when we're able to get these principles out more and more.
Wow. It seems like you became the marketing for Focus on the Family with your beautiful family, your wife and your beautiful three daughters. I mean, that's like you, the personal advertisement for what can happen when you include God into your plans, into your daily decision making, especially concerning your family and concerning your loved ones around you. And also, I think it's so wonderful that you went in there single, actually, you know, that it's like, this is family based and it's like, okay, I'm here. And then from that, you kind of got educated into this wonderful marriage that you have today. And yes, I'm right that you live in KwaZulu-Natal.
Yes, that's right.
It's like, beautiful areas around you. And yes. And I live in Gauteng, so I'm always interested to know what the milieu is for Christian and Christianity in the different provinces, because I think it does differ a little bit everywhere. How is in KwaZulu-Natal? Could you find, well, you grew up there and you had your church and everything. So how did you find your wife there?
Yeah. Well, I found my wife at church, which I always say is a great place to find a spouse. But it's quite funny because I met her at this big church in Durban. I was going to this church that was full of a lot of young people and we're all passionately pursuing Jesus. But it was also, it was passionately pursuing Jesus and finding a spouse. That was kind of like the two big things at this church because there were so many young people. And so there were like weddings happening every weekend because this was going on. And so, yeah, that's where I met my wife. I spotted her first and then actually I went overseas for about 6 months and did some travel and work overseas and then came back, and she was still there. She'd kind of come into this friendship circle that I had really been a part of. But she's a year older than me. And so for the beginning of when I first connected with her, we both kind of thought, okay, well, there isn't potential here because she's older.
Oh, wow.
You know, now obviously a year.
Can I confess something to you? Yeah. I'm also a year older than my husband.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah, so it's a mindset that we make. Okay? Yes.
And when you're young, you kind of think, oh no, you know, the guy's going to be older. But it was a beautiful thing because it just meant that the foundation of our relationship really was friendship because it wasn't that kind of, hey, I'm going to pursue this girl and I'm going to put my best foot forward everywhere and only show the best of me and from a kind of dating perspective. We really just got to know each other as friends. And only after about a year of being friends did we actually start to date. We always tell our engagement story because while we were just friends, she and another friend were talking. And because, of course, this church was all about wedding proposals and weddings, etc., they said, okay, well, how are you going to propose to your spouse one day? I said, well, I can't tell you that because what if it's one of you? And they just laughed and, you know, I just, you know, had to get over my feelings of rejection. And I said, okay, I'll tell you the story. This is what it's going to be. You know, we're going to be walking on the beach front and the sun's rising and causing sort of glistening on the ocean and gentle breeze in our faces as we walk hand in hand along the beach. And then out of the corner of our eyes, we spot this glint in the ocean, and we realize there's a bottle. And so we walk towards this, a bit inquisitive. And as we get closer, really, there's a bottle washing up, and we pick up the bottle and notice there's a message in the bottle. As we open it up, the message says, "Will you marry me?" And with a ring attached. And so,
that's so sweet.
I thought this was really good, and I thought, oh, I'm earning some points there. But then when we actually started dating, Alison said to me, "Listen, you can't use that now, because I want to be surprised. And, you know, the most important thing for me is that I get a surprise." Now you've told the story, you have to come up with something else. Oh, share it. This was such a, you know, this was a winner, you know. But in the end, I managed to pull off both. I did go down to the beach, and it was on an anniversary, so she wasn't expecting anything. And then I just popped the question straight away, out of the blue. And initially she was saying, like, "No ways, no." And I said, "Okay, all I've heard so far is no. Could you at least give me a yes?" But after I'd had some friends help me rig it up, and so I said, "Okay, well, let's go find your bottle." She said, "No ways, can't be." And truth be told, we walked a little bit further, and there was the bottle that was washing in the ocean. But I managed to accomplish both goals, you know. So
well done. Well done. Well done, Mr. Graham. Yes. Yes, that's wonderful. And I think, you know, what's so beautiful about that story is that it's so much part of your history and of your story together that it just, every time you tell it, it kind of reminds you of how you felt in that stage and how you came together and how you started to become this beautiful couple. And I think that that's important for each couple to remember, their little love story. My husband and I have a tradition of, on our wedding anniversary, we don't have a lot of free money running around. So we don't do a lot of big things. We try to give like gag gifts in that year's, like it's silver or it's paper or it's so and so on. But then we always try to remember the wedding day, and we sit and we watch the video, and it's so much fun to just go and like, "Oh my gosh, can you remember that person?" And oh, "You look so sweet there. Oh, I never saw that before," or a moment. And of course we have a lovely story about our wedding, but that's not my story to tell at the moment. And then also our engagement story was beautiful. He sent me on a treasure hunt to the city on from restaurant to restaurant to restaurant. And I actually thought he was going to break up with me in a very nice way. So I think it's always wonderful to remember those, you know, in narrative therapy, we call it sparkling moments, because it's those sparkling moments that really pulls your story together. And that's the moments you have to remember. Don't focus on the bad moments or on the, because yes, sometimes you will be upset and you'll be disappointed, but that's not the moments you need to remember. The moments you need to remember are the ones that made you stronger.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's a powerful thing to do, to just have those moments of reminiscing and, it's a, as you say, a wonderful connection time. It doesn't have to be only on anniversaries. It's good to do that on a regular basis, just to
absolutely
think back on and all of those kinds of things.
And especially when you're working with your children, is telling that story to them, where they understand, wow, that's how love looks. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like. And that's the length that somebody would go to into making my dreams come true, because you did both. You got your dream about your perfect proposal. You got that ready with the bottle, and then you got the surprise element for your wife. And that's just so wonderful. Graham, I'm looking forward to chatting a little bit more about all of this to you, about Marriage Week and about what you guys are all doing this week. It's very exciting. And yes, about all the resources. So But first, we're going to break for a little bit of music and we're going to the stores and things like that. And then we'll be back just after this. Jy is ingeskakel op Radio Kansel 657 AM en Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. Dis so lekker om saam met jou te kuier vanoggend. Vanoggend kuier ons 'n bietjie in Engels. As jy die eerste deel gemis het, ons kuier saam met Graeme Schnell van Focus on the Family. And we are going to speak a little bit about a Marriage Week, South African SA Marriage Week, which is from the 1st to the 7th of September every year. And I know Liesel from Intim, I've spoken to her a few times before, and it's so wonderful that Focus on the Family is now taking hands with Intim on this project. And Graeme, tell me a little bit more about how that came about.
Yeah. Well, you know, Marriage Week or SA Marriage Week is part of International Marriage Week. And it started actually with a couple in the UK that just had this idea. What if we could just really uplift marriage and take a week to say, hey, let's lift up marriage. And then for those who are married, let's encourage them to invest in their marriages because they've got this beautiful gift that God has given them. Let's nurture this. Let's celebrate this. And so they started doing that, and they got amazingly, God just used that, and they got a lot of media exposure, and even the guy that had pictures with the Prime Minister and his wife. And,
wow.
And because of that, I think other countries started phoning and saying, hey, you know, we want to be a part of this. Can we do this? And so they kind of created a network of this International Marriage Week, but really just it's with kind of volunteers and volunteer organizations saying, we just want to be a part of this because we believe in marriage and we want to join hands and celebrate this. And so for us, this Focus on the Family for many years, we were just supporting it and saying, hey, during Marriage Week, we would air marriage programs on our radio broadcasts and we would, we'd post marriage things on our Facebook, but not really connected in any way to International Marriage Week. We're just backing it. And we got a call from Liesel from Intim a few years ago, just during COVID, just to say, hey, would we really champion this SA Marriage Week? She was just needing additional capacity. And I just said, well, absolutely. It's really core to who we are as Focus on the Family. Marriage is one of our pillars. And it's really the foundation of family, which is the foundation of society. So, of course, we all too glad we're already supporting it. Now we just kind of got more structured involvement. And so from then, we've really just taken on that sort of championing role. But SA Marriage Week is essentially a separate entity. We've kind of taken on the baton from Liesel. But we operate it as a campaign that runs that really so many organizations can get involved in and buy into. And so we've got radio stations like you guys that are buying into this. The Association of Christian Media has run this as a whole campaign. And churches are recognizing and celebrating SA Marriage Week. And that's the idea, that as many people as possible can learn about Marriage Week and then just apply it. The Bible says marriage should be honored by all. And so we want to lift up marriage and say this is something we should honor and respect. And then, as I said, for couples to take a week. And, of course, we're not saying you can get away with just 1 week of investments in your marriage in the whole year. That's not the point. But hopefully it sparks something in couples when they realize, hey, this is so good. It was great when we took the time to connect, when we invested in our marriage, when we went on a date night. Let's not wait until next SA Marriage Week. Let's continue to invest in our marriage because it's a beautiful thing that God has given us.
And I think on the website itself, there's so many beautiful resources that will sustain you throughout the year. If you like feeling, oh, okay, just 1 week. No, you can go on through the year. That's wonderful. That's the website is samarriageweek.co.za. All small letters, you can go all together, samarriageweek.co.za. And then I just want to point this out to listeners because I seem to have been spelling marriage wrong all my life. So it is S-A-M-A-R-R, two R's, And then the I comes first. IAGE week. SA marriage week. .co.za. So go check that out. Yes. So yeah, no, literally this morning I was sitting and going, oh, wait a minute. I've been typing it wrong. I've been swapping in the A and the I around, which is not the way it should be. So, but I think what a wonderful way to celebrate marriage. And this is already being supported by so many people. But I mean, today we really just want to make people aware of what's happening. But I want to also just find out from you, Graham, did you receive a lot of support from churches? Are they in, did they organize little things on their own as well?
We've heard that more so on their own. We haven't had as many that have kind of signed up and put the, kind of advertised their events on the website, but certainly churches are buying in it. You know, churches, we just saw this as a natural partner. Of course, church is God's main vehicle to share his gospel with the world. But family is such a vital component of that. It's God's, ultimately, it's his design for humanity. And of course, not everybody will get married, and there are those that are called to celibacy and singleness. But for the majority, marriage is God, part of God's plan and his design. And it's a good thing. And the church is the perfect vehicle to be speaking about this and sharing this and encouraging this in the congregation. So whether that is just preaching about it on a Sunday, or whether it's having a small group for married couples and bringing content into that throughout the year. But we did say, hey, what if you could just organize a date night event for your married couples and your congregations? And so we've had a number of churches that are excited about that. And again, we don't want, this doesn't have to only be an SA Marriage Week, but for churches to really gain this recognition that as much as there are so many other important things that they're talking about and they're working with in their churches, and there's discipleship programs and there's the youth and there's the women's ministry and all these things, and they've got to be speaking about evangelism and whatever it might be, that elevating this aspect of marriage and family is vital, and it really is part of God's plan and purpose. And so, yeah, we've been very grateful to partner with many churches, or see many churches partnering with SA Marriage Week in that regard.
Yes, of course. And the invitation stays open. It's not just like, well, 7th of September, it's closing down now. It stays open for churches and just basically people who serve together, people who live together, people who are in the same community. That's the word I was looking for. Community. People in the communities that, you know, you can also form a group and then, you know, be a part in that group, and by promoting marriages and promoting healthy marriages also. I think, you know, you were saying some people are destined to be single, or they want to be celibate, and that's wonderful. That is their path to go on. But I want to ask you, do we find that in South Africa at the moment, less and less couples are getting married and they're just living together for years and years and years and years?
Yeah. We've got a very challenging situation in South Africa when it comes to marriage, unfortunately. Our marriage rate is very low, only about 25%. So if you flip that around, it's based on, so I'm not talking about divorce, I'm talking about the percentage of people who are of an age to be
actually
married,
getting married. Yeah.
And so about 25% of people in that age group are married. So 75% of people who could be married are not married in South Africa. And it's that marriage rate is very low compared to countries around the world, quite honestly, even many other African countries. It's tied then to so many other things, you know. So what we have in South Africa is, one challenge I'll put out there is the buller. And so you have a bride price. And I say that it's a challenge. I'm not here to say that it's wrong or evil or bad. I think there's some really very good positive elements to it, and the history and the culture of recognizing value and showing that you're able to provide, I think, are very positive elements. But there are aspects of greed that have crept in. And there are the person who actually came up with the 11 cow price tag was a British statesman. I think his name was Shepston Wiley or something like this back in the 1600s. So it's not even – so from a cultural perspective, I like to share that to say and be careful of saying it's just about my culture because there's been outside elements that have had negative influences even into that. Because what that does, setting a price that's the same for everybody, I'm kind of generalizing very much so, but it makes that barrier to marriage quite difficult for a lot of people because they've got to save for years and years and years to be able to afford that labola price. And so what it means is
from the Afrikaans traditions that we used to have a trousseau, which from the ladies' point, you had to kind of gather everything and you had to have like all your kitchenware and everything. This is where kitchen tea now comes from, is so that they can get that quickly. But you had to actually in the end provide all of those, the linens, the things, all of that. And I remember my grandmother was, you know, she had a trousseau and there was somebody that wanted to be married to her, but she went off to Zambia and she became a missionary there. And in that process met my grandfather. Mm-hmm. And then this guy said, well, he said to her, you can go, but I'm keeping your trousseau. And so it was a big thing. It was like a big bargaining tool. For him. And so for me, that's quite interesting that's kind of in the Western cultures more fallen away in the Afrikaans culture. But now, like I say, we do have the kitchen teas that kind of covers that.
There's multiple things involved. I mean, for some in Western culture, sometimes, you know, there's an idea that, well, the ring should cost you 3 months salary or... And that might, at least in some ways, what's helpful with that is that it's then relative to how much you're earning as opposed to a set price. But even still, it can be barriers. What's just even a perception. Well, I need to be financially stable in order before we get married. And now that could be a good thing. But what does stability mean? You know, that for some people, stability means that what I have there, holiday house and three cars paid off that. And
that's something and so that you build on together.
Well, exactly. And so we, you know, we're one of the big roles that we play at Focus on the Family and even for SA Marriage Week is promoting the value of marriage because what we have is in South Africa, the vast majority of kids being raised by single moms. And so what you have is this child, he's being raised by a single mom. He goes to school and all his friends are being raised by single moms. And so his dreams and goals and desires are to finish school, maybe get a tertiary education, get a better job so he can earn more money and relationships will come and probably kids will be a part of that. But he's not thinking about it within the context of marriage and family. And it's not because it's just because it's not being modeled for him. And so it's the cyclical thing, unfortunately, that we're caught in within South Africa for all of those reasons. I'm not blaming or highlighting one particular cultural group. Although obviously in South Africa, we have,
it's got a lot to do with fear. It's got a lot to do with fear of not being able to provide, of taking that responsibility on paper. You know, if we live together, then I don't have to do that on paper. And if we split up or we have a big fight and there's no incentive really to stay there because, well, we're not married. Yeah, so, exactly.
That's the reality. What marriage does, and of course we acknowledge that there's divorce and there are a lot of marriages that end, but there is a covenantal aspect to marriage that puts a protection around a couple that is there compared to just living together. Because when every couple, every relationship is going to go through challenges and difficulties and bumps in the road. And when you don't have that marriage covenant in place, then it's very easy to say, well, let's just call quits. We don't, there's nothing, at least legally or, that's binding us together. If we're not enjoying this, let's just do this. Whereas at least with in a marriage covenant, you've made those vows. You've confessed your love in front of a whole group of people that have come out to celebrate this with you. You've got a legal document that says you're married, and it's a process to dissolve and unwind that. And so there's some protection that comes with that, along with, I think, a blessing from God that whether you are a Christian and acknowledge him or not, it is part of his plan and his purpose. Marriage is good for individuals and good for societies. Whether you acknowledge God's existence or not. And so that's why it's so important for us, not only to encourage couples to invest in their marriages, but also to elevate this idea of marriage and to say to the world, this is a good thing. If you're not married, maybe you shouldn't be married. You know, maybe if you're in a relationship, this is something
you're already basically married. Just be there and take that responsibility.
There's a book by a guy by the name of Brad Wilcox, and it's just called Get Married. But he just points all kinds of research and why it's good to get married. You know, people who are married live longer and they earn more, and so he just weighs up all of this sociological research, and then from a society perspective, it's. And this isn't necessarily from him, but I've looked at various research studies that marriage and family is among the best mechanisms to lift people out of poverty, crime, domestic abuse and violence, and even educational failure. So we need to be, and our content, I mean, those are some big issues within South Africa. And one way we can really make big strides in solving those is by promoting and lifting up this design that God gave us of marriage and family.
So how do we go about that? How do we promote marriage? How do we say this is a safe place for you to be? This is a good place for you to grow in your relationship. And it's not about the financial sustainability. It's not about fights. It's not about divorce even, because I think some of the fear stem from people who've seen people who are divorced and how awful that was, awful that this situation has been. So then they don't want to fully commit to a marriage because of that fear. How do we inspire people to just be in this wonderful thing called marriage?
I think it is about talking about it like we're doing now positively. You know, you're right. And we don't want to by any means just say everybody should just get married to the next person that crosses their path. That, you know, we want to go into marriage with our eyes very wide open and make sure that when you're choosing a spouse that you choose wisely and you look at character. So by no means are we just saying get married to whoever you happen to be in a relationship with. You need to evaluate that very carefully. But I think you're right. A lot of people have been hurt by either their own broken relationships or broken families that they've come from, families of origin. And so we need to be telling a better story, and we need to be speaking about the positives and both the research, like I was quoting and sharing, just sociologically how good and positive marriage can be for you as an individual, for the society. But then sharing those amazing stories of couples that have stuck together and are living out a thriving marriage life because they they decided that this was going to be for them. I was invited just a week ago to speak at a church where the pastor and his wife were celebrating 50 years of marriage. And wow. It was the most incredible thing because I got invited to come and just essentially give the message. So I spoke about marriage. But then after my message, they kind of transitioned. The service had been a pretty normal service, you know, worship and communion and then this message. And then they said, well, now they're going to renew their vows. And they created an entire, pretty much a wedding ceremony. You know, the woman walked down the aisle. There were flower girls. There were young little boys that had ring security written on them. They came with the rings and this couple renewed their vows and they shared about, and others that shared spoke about difficult times and challenges that they'd gone through. And yet, what a beautiful testimony that this couple could now, in front of this whole community, say, we are in love with each other. We are enjoying this gift that God has given us of this marriage. And we've endured some difficult times, but here we are celebrating 50 years of marriage.
Yes. And that with the hand of God, you can overcome a lot that marriage can go wrong in a marriage. You can work through it. And I think it's about the commitment. But once again, we need to break for a little bit of music and some advertisements. And then we'll be back with Graham Schnell from Focus on the Family and South African Marriage Week. We will be back right now. Hier is die program Vreugde Joy. My naam is Bertha Leroval en jy is ingeskakel op Radio Kansel 657 AM en Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. DStv kanaal 82 en natuurlik OpenView 607 wanneer jou radio vir jou probleme gee, dan kan jy daar ook by ons inskakel of op ons webtuiste www.radiokansel.co.za is ons altyd daar. Vanoggend gesels ons 'n bietjie in Engels. And we are speaking about South African Marriage Week, SA Marriage Week. We spoke a little bit about the website and we spoke a little bit about people having to be inspired to get married. And then how we are going to do that. And then one of the things is that we want to show people that there's support out there for marriage. There's support for married people. And that we are standing behind those people. And if you do have experience challenges, you have a problem or you have something that seems so unsurpassable that you just can't go on, there is spaces for you to reach out. And I think what's wonderful about SA Marriage Week, the website that you have, is there's so much there's resources on there that's free that you can download and you can work through with your spouse, or you can work through and pray on it and inspire your spouse maybe. Because I think that's a big thing. The biggest thing, and I always speak to Liesl about this, is how do I, as a wife, inspire my husband to become part of SA Marriage Week? How do I encourage him? You know, it's like, hey, honey, I think we should do SA Marriage Week. And then, what, do you think there's something wrong with our marriage? Is there something wrong with us? What am I doing wrong? Just tell me what I'm doing wrong. I don't want to do a whole course. And then, you know, you get a little bit resistance. How do we encourage, inspire people to get your spouse, how do I literally speak with your spouse to move into this marriage week? Because we want to be in that space where you will be able to, because that's what this will do. It will help you to be able to speak more freely, speak more openly, you know, be more of a team together. But with today's busy schedules, oh my goodness, the economy can be crazy and people running around and social media and then also, you know, television, whatever, it's keeping you from actually connecting. And before you see it, you are living in the same house, going to the same parties, going to the same church and everything like that, but you aren't really connected anymore. And that, from that aspect, if somebody's listening today and go, you know, I really want my husband and I, or my wife and I, to do this. I don't know how to approach this. I don't know how to ask them to do it a bit without them blowing up or being angry or taking offense. Yeah. Do you have any, rot?
I think that SA Marriage Week actually creates a bit of an easy on ramp for that. Because it's, you know, to be able to say, hey, honey, did you know that it's SA Marriage Week? You know, this from the 1st to the 7th of September, I just heard about it on radio today. And they were talking about this really cool resource that we can get access to just for this week. And it's a little video that you can watch and stimulate some conversation. I'd really love to do it just because it's SA Marriage Week. So you're not, you know, it's not necessarily saying, hi, honey, I think our marriage is in trouble, you know, and we need to... Can we go and read some articles together or whatever? Not that that would be a bad, that might be necessary, at other parts of the year, but I think that SA Marriage Week makes that little on-ramp a bit easier. Mm. But it might be the catalyst. And that's what we trust and we believe that, as we said earlier, it can't only be 1 week that we invest in our marriage. But maybe this is that opportunity for a spouse to say, or for a couple to be able to, look, you know, work through the resource together and then say, wow, we actually do need some help. Maybe it's time to get some counseling, or sure, this has helped us. What if we could find some other tools that we could do on a regular basis? Or, hey, this has pointed to some aspects in our marriage that we need to work on. What about, giving some time to this, or whatever it might be? But with SA Marriage Week, that, you know, what we've put together is a daily email. So if you sign up as part of SA Marriage Week, you get a daily mail to your mailbox with a little video clip that you can watch that generally is short. It's 4, 5, 6 minutes, and then some questions and some discussion topics around that. And it's not a big ask for couples, you know, to say, hey, for 1 week, 7 days, let's participate in this, whether it's before we go to bed at night or when we get home from work or whatever it might be. And we're hoping that that can really be the start of something beautiful. There's also a date night kit that we've put together. And so it might be that you say, hey, well, let's celebrate the end of the SA Marriage Week with a date night that we go out to a restaurant, or we create something at home, or whatever it might be, or find an event that's happening at a church nearby, and have a more prolonged time where you can really talk about the week, talk about what you've learned, talk about your marriage, reminisce like you were talking about at the beginning of the program. But hopefully this SA Marriage Week creates that opportunity for couples to spend the time and make that little investment into their marriage that will then continue beyond just this 1 week.
Yes. And so, and to have that conversation and just say, oh, so this is actually a nice catalyzer. It's like a little, oh, you know what I heard on the radio today? It's Marriage Week. Did you know that there's a Marriage Week? That's quite interesting. That's a nice conversation starter. And then I saw that, like there's a website where you can go to and you can get some resources. I would really like to do it. Express how you feel. I think it's very important to say, this sounds like something that I would really like to do for our marriage, for us to do together, because I do value our marriage and I want to work on it. I think there's different ways of approaching it. You can approach it with like, you know, I really think we're in a rut at the moment. I really think that we need to move. I don't like our life at the moment. I don't, you know, when you start off with a negative note, you won't be able to proceed into a positive ending. But if you come and you say, this is how I feel I want to invest into our marriage. I feel I want to really work on on building something even better than we have at the moment. I want to grow. I want to make it the best one, best marriage that we can have. And I think that's in phrasing it in that way, in it gives the other person who's like, you know, la 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 la, just minding his own business. He's just there. You know, just came from work, or she just came from work and doing whatever. And here you come and you go, let's do this together. So they're not immediately on the same wavelength as you are. You need to bring them in a good way onto that wavelength. And you're not going to bring that by, you know, I think we're broken. I think we need to, you're not going to bring it with a negative start. Do you agree, Graham?
Yeah. And, you know, it can be difficult. Obviously, marriage takes two. And you ideally want two people that are committed to working on it together. But the only person you have control of is yourself. And you can't force anything on your spouse. You can't control their response, their reaction. So sometimes it's just saying, you know, even if it's to say, hey, you know, I found that it's SA Marriage Week. There's this awesome website. There's these little videos and this discussion. I'd love to do this. I'm going to do it. And I'd love it if you would join me, because it's obviously about marriage. It's about you and I, but I'm going to do this. And please, would you consider joining me? Even if it's a tough ask, sometimes just saying, look, I'm going to do what I have control of. I have the ability to invest in my own marriage, even when it's just me. And hopefully your spouse will come around with that. Even if they don't, even if you go through the resource and you look at ways that you can be a better spouse. I often think of the analogy of a ping pong game. You know, when you play ping pong, if you put a bit of spin on, which is what you can control, you can't control how they're going to hit it back, but you can have an influence on it. The little bit of spin that you put on might just influence the way that it comes back from the other player. And so doing what you can do, investing in yourself and investing in your aspect of the relationship, often will have an influence on how your spouse responds. And so that would be my encouragement for those spouses that are thinking, oh, it's going to be a really tough ask to get my spouse on board with this, to just say, make a decision to say, I'm going to do it no matter what. But I'm going to invite my spouse on this journey and pray that they come along. But even if they don't, I'm going to do what I can to improve our relationship.
And now I want to ask, I mean, is this going to be like a very introspective, very tearing, pulling stuff apart journey? Is it a difficult journey, or have you really designed it to be more of an experience that's good for you, that's fun, that's not like homework, you know?
Yeah, definitely. We've chosen something that is, like I said, an easy on-ramp. So the topics are not they're not difficult. So I was just trying to find where I could quickly see the actual topics of the videos. But it's about a happy marriage. That's what we're talking about. So we're not talking about very, very difficult conversations. We're talking about the kinds of conversations that are just going to bring joy and life into your marriage.
It's like the Afrikaans, we would say, there's no need to track me. It's not pulling, like pulling teeth, you know?
Exactly. And who doesn't want to bring more joy and happiness into their marriage?
Absolutely.
So that's it. So it's not, we're not going delving very deep into really, really challenge. It's intended to be an enrichment occasion for couples rather than hey, this is crisis and you need intervention and that's what this is about. So it's really for any couple, whether you're a couple that's already having a wonderful marriage, you can benefit from this. But even if you are struggling a little bit, it's not going to hopefully going to be difficult. It's just going to add life to your marriage.
Absolutely. I think that's a wonderful place to start, and it's a wonderful place to go. And I think when people say, oh, you have to work on your marriage, we hear the word work and we go, I do work already. Somebody said to me yesterday, it's like a business. You need to, you know, you're the CEO and this is this and this. And then you've got the CFO. And I'm like, that's not what I want for my marriage. So if you take out the work word out of that, it's, you are going to grow your marriage. You are going to let it bloom or flourish. That's also a way to just think about it and make it more palatable.
I agree. I think too often we use maybe the wrong language. And yes, we understand there are times, even in your vows, you say to through sickness and health and richer and poorer and through good and bad times. And there are times where it's going to be harder and it will require that commitment. But I do think that marriage is, we don't want it to just be this thing about commitment and sacrifice and hanging in there. It really is a beautiful, joyful thing that God has given us. And, you know, just a couple of days ago, the Focus broadcast was about cherishing your spouse. And Gary Thomas was speaking about how we really do want to elevate marriage to another level. Let it not just be about hanging in there and sacrifice, but really about cherishing our spouse. And what struck me and what kind of reminded me, he spoke about what happens at a wedding, and this applies to me. When I used to go to a wedding, I would always, when the bridal march played, the first thing I'd do was what everyone else does and look back down the aisle to see the bride arrive, and there's the flower girls and the, you know, the whole procession. And of course, the bride does look a whole lot more pretty than the groom, so it makes sense to look that direction.
Yeah.
Until I got married. And now what I do is I look at the groom, because I remember what it felt like when I was standing at the front of that church and Alison stepped onto that aisle. And I remember just being absolutely fixated on this woman that I was about to commit to spend the rest of my life with. And so now I watch that groom and I watch his face and I just see the emotion and the everything that's going on in his mind. But cherishing is about making that a daily reality, not just a once in a lifetime moment or experience, but actually a daily reality to say, this is a woman that I've committed to spend the rest of my life with, and I want to cherish her every day. And so, yes, during SA Marriage Week for sure, but actually every day. You know, I think he spoke about a friend who was driving with a group of guys, and he said, how many of you and feel like your wives love you? And they all put their hands up. And then he said, how many of you believe that your wives like you? And all the hands went down. And it's a, and it's a funny story. But the truth is, those men felt loved, but they didn't feel cherished.
Sure.
And so there's an opportunity. And again, SA Marriage Week just gives us that glimpse into how, what can we do? How can we grow this? How can we develop this? Bring our relationship not just to that point of I said I do, and I said I told you I loved you, and if anything changes I'll let you know, or you know, I'm committed. How can we elevate this to the degree where we really are saying I want to cherish you? I want to recognize when Alison and I speak on marriage, we often have a prop with us that's a massive diamond, huge diamond. Of course, it's not real. An insurance for us to travel with. But if it were real, it would be worth like the wealth of the whole country. It's actually, you couldn't put a price tag on how much value this would hold. But we use that to say, this is how we should view our spouse. Cherishing is about seeing them through the lens of this diamond, that they know that we recognize how valuable they are. And even our inability sometimes to get that right doesn't change their value, because God made them valuable, and they are who He says they are. And he calls them his treasured possession. He made them fearfully and wonderfully in his image. They are image bearers of the Most High. He calls them his treasured possession, his masterpiece. And we need to recognize that on a daily basis so that we treat our spouse according to the value that they hold. And that's a big part of how we cherish our spouse and how we elevate marriage above just that. We've got to work at this.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just quickly, Graham, before we go for a break again, I want to hear if I'm now only waking up today on the 5th of September and I'm like, oh, marriage week. Oh, that sounds wonderful. Can I still join?
You can. And what we've done is what you'll get access to when you sign up is you'll get access to the full on the kind of, you'll immediately get a webpage so you can go and recap. You'll only start getting the emails from the next day, but you won't have missed anything because you can actually immediately go back to the content that you've missed over the last. So even if you decide your marriage week is going to be the 6th to the whatever the 7 days to the 6th is, 13th, then that's fine. Please, by all means, go. But you won't have missed out, which is a beautiful thing.
Oh, that is wonderful. That is really great. Yes, I also want to speak to you a little bit on why marriages, we spoke about why people aren't getting married, but now why marriages are in trouble in South Africa at the moment. You know, what are the things around that? So we will speak on that just after the break. We're going to listen to a little bit of music and go to the ads, and then we will be right back. Hier is die program Vreugde Joy. My name is Bertha Leroval en ons gesels vanoggend alles huwelike. En ons praat 'n bietjie Engels, so ek hoop jy kuier heerlik saam met ons. Hierdie is vooraf opgeneem, so ongelukkig kan ons nie enige boodskappe wat jy nou vir ons stuur lees op die lig soos ek normaalweg doen nie. Maar ek is weer volgende week terug lewendig in die studio, so ek hoop jy sal dan weer by ons saam kuier. So we are speaking on Marriage Week, South Africa Marriage Week, and we have spoken about how we can, you know, enhance our marriage, how we can grow in our marriage. But there are some things that are really trying to break up marriages in our country today. And with you guys working at Focus on the Family, where do you find are the red lights for marriages that are in trouble?
Yeah. You know, when we hold marriage events, we always give a little survey form to all the couples that are there, and we ask the question, you know, what are the challenges in marriage? And almost without fail, every time, the biggest issues that come back are busyness and stress and communication. And I think that there are obviously clear pain points, things like infidelity, those kinds of things will always put huge pressure on a marriage. And then, you know, when we air programs on infidelity, those we always get a spike there because it really is touches the heart. But busyness and stress, I think we live just such hurried lives and lifestyles. And I mean, you kind of hinted at it when you talked about earlier, just that idea of sort of feeling like you're passing ships. There's so much going on, and you're living in the same household. You might even be going to church together, but you're really living separate lives. Greg and Aaron Smalley wrote a book called Reconnected, and the subtitle is something like moving from roommates to soulmates. And
wow!
So often we find that couples are, you know, they get to that aspect where they look at each other and they go, you know, I'm committed to you and I'm married to you, but you feel more like a roommate than a soulmate. And it comes from that busyness and just hurried lifestyle and not taking the time to invest in the relationship. And so it connects with the other one, which is communication. So many couples are saying that's a challenge within our marriage. And they work together because what happens with communication is obviously you're communicating, but there's things that you have to communicate about. You have to communicate about the schedules and who's picking up who from ballet at what time and did you buy milk and, you know, or it's budgets and it's how much, you know, did we transfer that money into the other account? And it's kind of business communication. Conflict communication happens because, you know, conflict happens. And so then you have those.
Where's my keys? I always pick my keys here. Why can't anybody put the keys back?
Exactly. Or the toothpaste or whatever those things are in your household. And sometimes the resolving that conflict is not done in a way that's helpful to build the relationship. And so that's another important one. But communicating on a heart-to-heart level is so vital. And it helps with building that marriage that you don't just feel like roommates, that you really can build that soulmate mentality. And so we often speak about this idea of heart-to-heart communication, and it's really going below the surface line, and it's talking about needs and desires and passions. And there was a lady who did some research a number of years ago, and I think she followed a number of couples, 300 couples over like 30 years. But what she did that was quite unique and quite interesting is that she didn't look at the marriages, you know, that were the worst off and what was the problem with those marriages. She looked at the sort of the cream of the crop, what the marriages that were really thriving and what it was that, you know, what were those main ingredients that led to this marriage being a thriving marriage. And what she found was one of the main ingredients was 10 minutes a day of this kind of heart-to-heart communication. And so it's quite a powerful study and a powerful reminder for all of us of how important that is, that we take the time and make that investment, not to say, okay, yes, we've got to talk about who's picking up who from where tomorrow, but can we make sure we carve out just 10 minutes a day? It's not a huge ask in the greater scheme of things to just check in and say, what are your passions? What's going on in your heart? What are your desires? What are your needs? What are your fears? And really getting to a deeper level of communication. And just 10 minutes a day can lead to a much more healthy, happy marriage over the long term. And feel more connected in your marriage.
And really carve it out. And I think, like you're now saying, 10 minutes a day. So that would be something that you would schedule, I think.
Yeah.
And especially with the busy lives and everything going on business wise and kids wise and everything, you need to schedule those times because that's the first thing that's going to go out the door if you don't. And then you've got the people who go, well, if it doesn't happen spontaneously, then he doesn't love me or she doesn't love me. No, you're taking all the romance out of it. If you are scheduling a date night every Tuesday, what are you talking about? You know, I think we need to reassess and just say, okay, what are we prioritizing?
Yeah.
We are prioritizing romance or are we prioritizing a relationship with a soulmate? And I think that's a important thing to realize when you are in a marriage that, yes, you get more romantic people and you get less romantic people and you get more spontaneous people and you get less spontaneous people. If you are spontaneously just having that 10-minute basic 10, 5, 10, 15-minute conversations in any way, which is not about organizing stuff and around the house, what we're having for dinner and things like that, then that's great and that's wonderful. Keep on doing that and being spontaneous. But if you want to reintroduce, and I'm saying reintroduce because that's where you started. If you think about your first dates when you just met, those were the moments where you were chatting about dreams and what do you want for the future? Oh, what do you like? What's the dislikes? What happened in your day today? What was the best thing that happened to you today? What was the worst thing that happened to you today? And I think that's very important to go back to that, reintroduce that kind of interest in each other's lives, to get to connect to that heart of the person, to get to know that person again, because they now are in a different place in their life. They've got married, they've got kids, just like you. Things do grow, things do elevate and change into different places.
It's about staying curious about your spouse. And that's
love that.
And then you're 100% right. The reality is you may be married to the same woman for that whole time, but she's actually not the same woman or the same man in the wife's perspective, because you change. When you're having kids, changes somebody, changes in careers, losing a loved one, all of those things have an impact on us, change us. And so part of that cherishing mentality, part of that loving mentality is staying curious about your spouse and wanting to know them, and not thinking that you know it all, because you don't.
Yes. And realizing that also your needs are going to change.
Yeah.
You know, maybe as you fluctuate, going to need a little bit more support. You're going to need a little bit more space. You're going to need a little bit, but don't make the space too big. That's what I always say. Don't make that. Give the person space. It's fine.
Yeah.
But don't make, be like Jesus, because, you know, when he's like, he's giving us space. Like when you said at the beginning of, in your testimony that you wanted to go and find a testimony, so you kind of veered off to the side a little bit. He was patient and he gave you that opportunity to have space. But he didn't let you go too far.
Yeah.
He was still looking out for you. He was there for you in that, in the moments where in retrospect you could see it. So be like that for your partner. Give them the space to heal from a trauma, but also let them know that you are there like a shoulder. And I think that's the biggest thing is I always say, when my husband and I, when we got married, somebody said, oh no, you're way too young to get married. And I was like, oh, thank you for the compliment, but I'm not 21 anymore. But I always said that we are going to grow as people. And my husband is somebody who's going to witness that. And I'm going to be a witness to his life.
Yeah.
And that's why I have to stay curious. Because you need to be able to, when you're sitting on that stoop, you know, on retirement, and you're sitting and looking out at everything, and then you need to be able to say, oh, you know what? That was a really good moment for you. I loved watching you go and conquer that hill that you needed to conquer. I loved it. You know, that's supportive, allowing them to be independent, not losing their individuality, so they don't become, because I think that's one of the problems that can arise as well, is that you, okay, well, now I'm just Cardle's wife, you know.
Yeah.
And that you lose the person who you are. So you need to give them, they are the person who they are, and you supporting that, and you love that person, and you like that person.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, that individuality is vital when we speak on what we call the healthy marriage model. It starts with two individuals that then form a relationship, and then, you know, but those individuals have a circle around each other, and then there's a relationship that's a circle around the two of them together, and they have a section where they cross over, which is that interactive space where they are having those heart-to-heart communications and those times of enjoying that relationship. But there are times when they are separate, where they go to work and they live their lives. And it's important for us as individuals, for the sake of our marriage, to be building into our own lives and recognizing our own responsibility to be filled up, to be connected to God. Yes, we connect to God together as a couple, but individually, I need to be making sure I'm filled up spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. I need to do the things that is my responsibility to stay charged so that I can make sure that this relationship is healthy and whole. There's a little tradition that's often done in weddings, and I've heard a couple of guys from Focus in the US saying that they hate this tradition in weddings, and it's where, you know, you have the unity candle, and so you each have your own candle that's lit, and then you kind of come together and you light the one unity candle that
two families coming together.
Exactly. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem that they have is then blowing out that individual candle, because it's almost like, you know, now they say, well, there's two that have now become one, but now the individual candles don't exist anymore. And that's
now
the
I'm
part.
Thinking. We did that. We did that at our wedding, but we didn't blow out the candles. We had the fat candles, so you can put them down again, and they'll keep on burning.
Then you're safe. But for those who did that, there's no judgment. I'm sure hundreds of couples have done that, but it's just this idea that you blow out your own individuality when you become a couple, and that isn't true, because actually. Eternally, I have an eternal existence that is as an individual, not just as a couple units. And yes, there's something special, and the two do become one, and we have formed this relationship, and it is vital and important. But I have a responsibility to make sure I look after my own individual life as well, and not as a selfish thing, because when I am filled up and charged and well looked after, healthy, then I have so much more to give to the relationship, to the marriage. And so it's not as a selfish thing. It's as a making sure I'm in a position to look after this marriage relationship to the best of my ability.
And I think it's also a responsibility of the partner to ensure that the other partner is looking after themselves. I think that's a very important point. It's like my brother and sister-in-law, she's been getting headaches, a lot of headaches. And he just said, you know what? We've got to send you to the headache clinic. We have tried all of the other solutions. This is not working, but you need to be well, because you need to be able to operate. You need to be happy and well. Sure. So that's also something to consider.
Yeah, we can become great influencers and advocates on behalf of our spouses. But essentially, it's still their responsibility. But we can help them. You know, Alison loves to run. We both actually love to run. But she has a group of friends that she runs with. And for her, it's great for her physically, but it's also great for her emotionally, because she's able to connect with his mates. And so I've recognized that, and as much as, especially when our kids were younger and we couldn't both leave the house at the same time, I acknowledged, you know what, you go for the run, I'll run on the treadmill, or I'll go later, or whatever it might be, because I've seen that that's something that will really charges her, it fills her up. And so in that sense, I can be a great advocate on her behalf. And so you're 100% right. We can recognize those things that help our spouses to be healthy, and then encourage them in that. But ultimately, the responsibility for each of us is our own, to look after ourselves in that sense.
Yes. Now, just like you say, that the responsibility is still yourself, your own, to walk into that clinic. And it was so funny, because when she was telling that story, my father-in-law was sitting there, and he said, you know what? Your mother-in-law actually did that. I was starting to be grumpy. She knew me well. She said, nope, yeah, here's your appointment at the headache clinic. Go, please. But it was still his responsibility to actually go in. And it did help him a great deal. And it did empower him to feel better, and then also return the favor for his wife. I mean, I think that's just wonderful. And I never think of, you know, you have to return the favor, but I think it's like when you are inspired, it's also with God's love, you he doesn't, you know, he forgives you your sins. And what I, but you are then inspired to do beautiful things. Yeah. It's not like you are going to win his love because you already have it by doing beautiful things or doing charitable things. It's because you are inspired by what he's giving you. And that's also a beautiful way of looking at a marriage, is that you can be inspired by what you are receiving to give even more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Graham, it's been so wonderful speaking to you. Thank you so, so, so much for your time and taking time out of this busy week, especially for you guys, focus on the family and in Team Tijdskrif, busy with SA Marriage Week. I'm very excited for the future and for the love that is just going to come from this. And I hope today, I know today we inspired someone to let their relationship grow and maybe grow into marriage. So that would be wonderful.
Thank you for having me. It's been a great joy to be with you and to talk about a topic that's so important. And I agree with you. I'm sure there are couples that have been inspired today and hopefully many that will sign up and take the time to invest in their marriage this week and beyond this week.
Wonderful. So if you want to have more information about this and, you know, start your marriage week on day 5, you are welcome. Please join the SA Marriage Week on samarriageweek.co.za. And remember, it is SAMARRIAGE week, WEEK.co.za. And go find some space and some beautiful resources. I mean, the date night kit, date night encouragement. It's just beautiful resources for you to work on and become a better couple than you are. So thank you so much for joining us. And from my side, it has been lovely. We will get together again next week, if God willing. Shalom.